privilege this afternoon to welcome you here today and to lead us as we give thanks and to celebrate Aaron's life. Will you bow as we pray? Oh God, you gave us birth and are always ready to hear us when we pray. You know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Show us now your grace that as we face the mystery of death, we may see the light of your eternity. Help us to live as those who are prepared to die. And when our days come to an end, help us to die as those who go forth to live, so that living or dying, our life and our faith are in you. Amen.
I asked to read this poem by my sister Natalie, and it's certainly an honor to do so. When I Think of Death by Maya Angelou. When I think of death in the late, the ideas come with alarming frequency. I seem at peace with the idea that a day will dawn when I will no longer be among those living in this valley of strange humors. I can accept the idea of my own demise, but I am unable to accept the death of anyone else. I find it impossible to let a friend or relative go in that country of no return. Disbelief becomes my dose companion, and anger follows in its wake. I answer the heroic question, death, where is thy sting? With it, here in my heart, in my mind, in my memories. God bless.
Hear now these words, a reading from Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up what has been planted. A time to kill, a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. And the writer of Ecclesiastes adds these words, I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing need be added to them. These are the words of God. Thanks be to God.
Aaron was born on October 7, 1975 in Dallas, Texas, the second child of Lee Hudson and Herb Bearwalt. During his youth, he lived in Dallas and Corpus Christi, Texas, and then became a northern transplant, first to the Cuyahoga Falls area of Ohio, and then the Springfield area of Illinois. He returned to Dallas, the city of his birth, to complete his high school education. Once in Dallas, he started studying martial arts, and he was truly gifted in that area of sport as well as many others. He spent some time at the University of North Texas before finding his talent for sales, marketing, and management. Aaron fell head over heels in love, and soon thereafter married Natalie Ridley on March 14, 2008. Marrying Natalie gave Aaron an immediate, large, extended family, along with the fun of many large family gatherings and celebrations. His greatest accomplishments in this life came with the birth of his first daughter, Maslin, in December 2009, and second daughter, Evan, in July 2011. These two daughters brought unmeasurable joy to Aaron's life. Everyone who saw him in action agreed that he was an outstanding dad. He had patience and creativity, two great qualities for life with children. Aaron had many interests, especially science. He was also a great cook and could take whatever ingredients he might find in the pantry and fridge and create a gourmet delight. He loved the great outdoors and especially fishing and hunting. He was fearless and always ready to tackle a new challenge. Aaron is survived by his wife Natalie Ridley Bearwalt, daughter Maslin Bearwalt, daughter Evan Bearwalt, brothers Pete Bearwalt and Dylan Bearwalt of Dallas, Texas, parents Lee Hudson and husband Jim Hudson of Wiley, Texas, parents Herb Bearwalt and wife Shelley Dawson of Lake Texoma, Texas, Aunt Linda Corkill and husband David Washington of San Antonio, Texas. He will also be missed by numerous cousins and close friends. I was privileged enough to get to be one of his close friends. I just thought I would share a little anecdote of our time together. Aaron and I met several years ago, essentially through a ballet-centric workout class called Pure Bar. You might be thinking that we met because we were two of the top students in the class, and that would be reasonable to guess. But no, it was actually our wives. They both taught the class, and we became quick friends. We both had similar senses of humor and similar views of the world. And the thing I always remember when I think about Aaron is potential, and specifically his ability to see upside potential in people and situations, no matter the situation and no matter the person. And I include myself in that. Early on in our friendship, he was constantly trying to get me to come work in the swimming pool business with him. And I constantly, you know, told him, no. I really just didn't think I was cut out for it. But he saw potential in me. As fate would have it, I got laid off. And I remember calling Aaron depressed and whining and just really just looking for someone to complain to. And Aaron just laughed and essentially told me, well, look, now you don't have a choice but to try this pool thing I've been talking about forever. And I'm so glad I did. I literally wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the potential Aaron saw in me. And the belief that he had in me. We had several great years working together. I got to see him again, see the potential in people who I had written off entirely, and he was oftentimes right. He saw the potential in situations that I thought were hopeless, and again, he was oftentimes right. Again, as fate would have it, eventually we were no longer working together, but we wanted to keep hanging out, and as adults, I think most of us know it's hard to find time to hang out with your friends. Especially on the weekend, especially when you need to find an activity that both your wives approve of. And so the good activity that we found was disc golf. I've heard a few blasphemers here today. It's not frisbee golf. It is disc golf. Aaron would want you to know that. It's a funny game. It's a great game. It's a funny game. You probably saw a basket on your way in. It's like ball golf, but instead of hitting a little ball with a stick, you throw these dense plastic discs, hopefully close to the basket and then eventually in the basket. And just like real golf, no matter how hard you try, sometimes it's just not your day, and sometimes your throws just don't go very well. And Aaron and I both were really great at having, you know, a really solid first 10, 20, 30, 40 feet of a throw before it shanking wildly right or left into a forest or a little stream or pond. And in disc golf, you really got to go get those discs because they cost more than like a little golf ball. But it was just always a running joke with us. You know, no matter how bad the throw was, there was always something that he saw in it that was redeemable. Like, well, hey, mate, you threw it in the complete wrong direction, but your form was spot on, you know? The first 20 feet of that throw, man, it was really solid. In disc golf, oftentimes they intentionally will put the tee pad where you throw from directly behind a tree. And literally, your only job is not to hit the tree. And as you can guess, oftentimes you fail at your only job and you hit the tree. And again, and it's really, really bad when you hit the tree. It's really loud when the disc hits it. You feel like you're hurting nature. And Aaron would just say, man, if that tree wasn't there, I think that was in the basket. We had lots of great conversations on the disc golf course. Really just guys being guys, talking about everything from politics to science to pop culture. Lots of conversations about Star Wars. I don't think we played a single round though. without him bringing up his daughters, Evie and Mazzie, you know, just carrying with the theme of potential. He was always so proud of who they are today and so excited for who they would become. I remember one of the last times that we played together, he had told me so excitedly, I don't remember what spurred it, but it's like, you know, my daughters are both so amazing, but both so different. I just think they're both gonna help people in the future. And he said specifically something along the lines of, you know, I just see Maslin, you know, being as the more focused, serious, you know, I see her being like a medical doctor, helping people in that way. And then Evie on the flip side, you know, being the more creative, free spirit, you know, if she doesn't become the dragon she is today, you know, she's gonna become something really special in a, you know, spiritual, creative sense and help people that way. And the love was so evident every time we talked. One of the tougher things in life is that it's so much easier for most of us to see the potential in others than in ourselves. And I was really privileged to have my friend Aaron see the potential in me. And I just wouldn't be here today the way I am if it wasn't for him. And I'm sure I echo the sentiment of a lot of you in here today. I know that Aaron's not that far away. It's been said that, you know, our loved ones that aren't here are just beyond a thin veil. And I believe that to be true. And I know he's watching. I know he's going to watch my disc golf. He's going to watch me throw at some trees, probably way more than I should. But I know he's waiting to see what I do. And if my friend's watching, I want to give him something worth watching in my life. And I hope you join me in that. So, thank you.
This next song is to honor the angels on earth who were with Aaron last year on May 17th when he collapsed. The quick thinking and fast action of these men helped extend his life so that his family could have one more birthday with him, one more Thanksgiving with Aaron, one more Christmas, one more New Year with their beloved husband, father, son, and brother. These moments, these memories are cherished, and this family is forever grateful. To Dave Gafford, Matt Hart, Dylan Keene, and Jonathan Whitman, we thank you, and you'll forever be our heroes. As we listen to this song, we are each other's angels. We honor you for lifting Aaron and keeping this family close, now and always.
Well, I hope I see you later, 'cause it's time for me to go. That's my ride that just pulled over. Sure was good to know you. So go answer your calling. Go and fill somebody's cup. And if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? 'Cause we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time. We keep each other going, and we show each other signs. Sometimes you will stumble, sometimes you lie down, and sometimes you get lonely with all these people around. You might shiver when the wind blows, and you might get blown away. You might lose a little color, you don't ever lose your faith. 'Cause we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time. We keep each other going, and we show each other signs. Thank you for the water. I thought I was gonna die out here in this desert, but you quenched my thirst. Let's break a little bread together. I've got a little manna. It was a gift from someone who was passing by. Go answer your calling. Go and fill somebody's cup. And if you see an angel falling, won't you stop and help them up? 'Cause we are each other's angels, and we meet when it is time. We keep each other going, and we show each other signs.
I have a story to tell you. It's a story that comes from the Gospel of John. And in this story, Jesus' friends are gathered, much as we are gathered here today. His friends who have traveled with him for 3 years. They've shared stories and meals around campfires. They've traveled across many places and endured many things together. And yet Jesus has said to them, I'm going away. I'm no longer going to be with you here on this earth. As you might expect, his friends are distressed. And they gather amongst themselves and they say, what will we do? How will we carry on? When Jesus is no longer with us, what will we do? Jesus was a good friend, and he was mindful of their concerns and their distress. And Jesus said to them, I'm never going to leave you, truly. I'm always going to be here with you. I will be with you in so many ways. And one of them, he uses a term that, well, if you read Greek, it's called paraclete. Now, raise your hand if you read Greek. Yeah, well, I will tell you that when we translate that to say advocate, or friend, or helper. I am going to leave you a friend. I'm going to leave you a helper. I'm going to leave someone to be alongside you when I am no longer here. Jesus' friends found comfort in knowing they would not truly be alone. Today, in theological terms, we preacher folks call that the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit at work. God among us, God with us, even when we don't see God. We see that power. Look around you. You see that power sitting next to you in this sanctuary today. You see friends, you see family members, you see helpers. You see advocates, people who are here to be alongside you, to be with you in the days that come, the days that sometimes will be dark. Sometimes they will be sad. Sometimes you will think, why? Why did you leave me? Remember, you are the advocates. You are the helpers. You are the power of God at work. In this life, from this day forward, I encourage each of you to look to your left, look to your right, look behind you, and look in front of you and see those people around you. And pledge to yourself now, I will be the advocate. I will be the helper. I will be the helper for Natalie, for Maslin, for Evan. I will be the helper for all of his family and friends. You've heard Matt so eloquently talk about what Aaron has meant to so many people. Pledge yourselves now to be the advocate, the helper, and know that never will you be alone. Aaron is present. Aaron is present in each of you, in your memories, the memories you share, the stories that you will now tell as you gather around meal tables, as you gather in parks and throw those things that Matt talked about. Not exactly golf, but something like that. You will tell those stories, and Aaron will live. Aaron will live because he lives in you. Be advocates. Be friends. Be Aaron's spirit to one another in the days that come. Thanks be to God for his presence.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've known less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.